I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into this special edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. We have got a special guest coming to you as a little bit of an abbreviated schedule this week, as I will be heading to Oxford Thursday. So podcasts will be coming to you, but they will be a little bit delivered a little bit differently, but we're going to get you some content. But before I bring on our guest, I do want to remind you, the show is brought to you each and every day by our friends at College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Check them out, collegecornerstore.com. Go get all of your merchandise needs before Saturday's game against Georgia. We are also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. It's Medicare enrollment season, and if you're looking for a Medicare supplement plan or just a regular health insurance plan, you can give him a call, 601-953-8449, or visit his website, quoteswithdrew.com. and get your free quote. All right, without further ado, let's bring him on. It is Mr. Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, now sideline reporter for the Bruins. He is also on College Sports Now. He does a show with our buddy Stephen Hartzell, who's been on the show before, and Phil Steele. Everybody knows Phil. But Wayne, appreciate it. I know you're we're in different time zones, but we've made it work, man. I appreciate you coming on.
It's fantastic. I mean, I was at Nebraska this morning, and I was in Omaha coming home from a good Bruin victory over Nebraska, and now we get to talk. We get to talk more football. I mean, it never ends during football season. I love it.
We were talking about that on our show last week, where, you know, the national championship's not till January 20th, so we have almost 3 months of college football left.
I love it. I mean, you know what? And I told – it's funny. I told Hartzell on College Sports Now, the more they lengthen the season, the more money all of us get to make in football. So that's even better, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Look, as I said before we hit record, the offense had little issue on Saturday. Blowout Arkansas, 63 points. But prior to this one, conference play, the offense was kind of bogged down. Everybody's kind of wondering what's going on with Lane Kiffin. The brand and kind of the identity of this team is the defense. But looks like it was a little bit more balanced, maybe shifting back to offense on Saturday. But from your perspective as, you know, a former quarterback, but just someone who's just a neutral observer, what do you think – let's go negative first. in your opinion, like, what's been kind of the issue so far with, you know, not just Jackson Dart, but with the offense?
Well, first of all, I'll go back and I'll give you a little background. Jackson Dart, I watched him play at USC, and this guy was a big-time recruit, and he looked like the real deal then. I'll get into it a little bit later. There are some things I would like for him to work on, and I don't know if that ties into Coach Kiffin, because I think he's allowed to do some of the things I think he needs to work on. But the thing that jumped out to me in watching that game was that when your offensive line is doing their job, and Jackson Dart can run, he's mobile enough to move, but we cannot call him fast. I consider him a pocket passer who can move around when he has to, but when he can step into his throws, he's got great arm talent. I don't think he's got the strongest arm in the world, but I do think he knows how to process and read defenses and get the ball out. But at the end of the day, Arkansas was terrible. I mean, he was thrown to wide open receivers. And so when you do that, that ties into Lane Kiffin too, though, because it makes it feel like it was they had a good game plan. the offensive line held up, and it was just an explosion of offense. I a lot of people predicted that this could be an upset, correct? I mean, this could be an Arkansas win. So for me, I was totally impressed. I know we're going back to, you know, they've had some struggles, but they're still sitting there as a team that still has a fighting chance. And so this is good for them because it lifts them up. They have some confidence. You already mentioned their defense. When you can have a game like this against, I know they're not, you know, ranked, but Arkansas is considered a good football program. So if you can put up numbers like they did, and I thought Jackson Dart looked fantastic in this game, but he was throwing to some pretty wide open receivers at times.
Yeah, I thought a lot of people probably figured it'd be a little bit low scoring. I picked an Ole Miss win by 10, but I had it, you know, 27-17. I did not see this barrage coming because Kiffin's done this over the years when he kind of has a feel for a game and he knows the offense is going to get some points, but he knows the defense is going to do its job. He's not going to push the issue. He's, you know, going to be a little bit more laid back. Right. Saturday, he let it all hang out. But it was good. I thought Kiffin especially, I'd use the term, like, lost his edge. Wasn't as aggressive as he's been. And I thought, you know, we kind of were like, man, just be yourself. Like, just relax, have fun. I thought they had fun on Saturday. You know, it helps when you get a huge lead like that and everything's going right. But, you know, like you said, Arkansas is a good ball club. They didn't play well Saturday at all. But, I mean, beat Tennessee at home. They had a good game plan there. And I think with Tennessee running the same offense, essentially, the veer and shoot, people were kind of worried. But setting up for a big one on Saturday against Georgia. But yeah, let's get into Jackson Dart. I think a lot of it has been predicated by the offensive line. He's faced a ton of pressure. And, you know, as a quarterback, I mean, that affects everything. Timing, rhythm. He's been kind of out of sorts. Still has only thrown three interceptions. He's protected the ball. He's thrown – leads the country in passing yards. But for you, you know, what's the good, what's the bad kind of for Jackson Dart that you've seen this year?
So everything you mentioned is what you want. I mean, quarterbacks can only do so much. I know we think they win and lose every game. But when a quarterback, like you said, is throwing for a lot of yards, they're not turning the ball over. And as you pointed out, when the offensive line doesn't give you time, I mean, I've been dealing with this when I try to explain to people that UCLA's quarterback, Ethan Garbers, is really good. And if we can figure out a way to block for him, like, he's going to put up some big numbers. Well, 2 weeks ago, you know, he was Big Ten Player of the Week, and he had a great game against Nebraska on the road against a very good defense. So when you give these quarterbacks, especially dropback guys, you know, it doesn't mean they're not mobile and they can't run, but we don't think of them as runners. When you give them time, and we know this, Lane Kiffin has a history of knowing how to call offense. These guys don't forget how to call offense sometimes. But when the line's not blocking and things aren't going well, things kind of fall apart a little bit. And sometimes you lose. I've said this before. You can go all the way back to a USC Rose Bowl back with guys like Sark and Kiffin, and you're sitting there watching the Reggie Bush and Lindell White Rose Bowl, and you're going, why aren't they just running the ball on every play? They got way too cute. You know, let's throw the ball around. And the next thing you know, Texas wins one of the best Rose Bowls in one of the best college football games ever with Vince Young. So sometimes you get too cute when you're an offensive coordinator and you need to, like, you know, have a little bit more balance and stuff like that. But I this is what I want to say about what I see on film, because I went back when you called me. I went back and I watched some older games. I really don't like when Jackson Dart has a habit. And I think because we live in the Patrick Mahomes era, we have so many quarterbacks that are throwing off their back foot, trying to throw sidearm all the time, I guess trying to look cool. And I always try to remind people that there's only one Patrick Mahomes, and no matter how hard you try, there's probably still only going to be one Patrick Mahomes because he's unique. He's a unicorn. But I see it as an epidemic how many quarterbacks throw off their back foot on a regular basis. Quarterbacks don't try to find the laces a lot now, and I know that's because they have to throw the ball really quickly, but they just palm the ball and throw a lot of these quick passes, and sometimes they can get the laces and they still don't. And I struggle with why you would do that. But it's pretty incredible that when I watch, and this is where I'm going to tie this into coaching, if you run a lot of RPO and a lot of stuff where if you watch a lot of the plays, there will be a ball fake even when they throw. And watch how many times Jackson Dart will just, when it's a handoff, he just stands there afterwards and watches. It's like, dude, buy a ticket. That's what our coaches used to say to us. You need to do something after every play, because then a play later you'll see him fake the handoff and he'll drop back and throw a pass. Well, if you're going to give the ball, you should either fake a pass or fake a run or do anything, because anybody that's ever played position knows that if you can get a linebacker to look at you for a second, if you can get a linebacker to not attack the run because they think you might still have the ball, that's an extra yard or two. And so it bothers me that coaches allow quarterbacks to be lazy. They allow them to throw off their back foot when they don't have to. They allow them, when they have an easy throw to the outside, to just throw it without snapping their feet around. And I'll give you a perfect example if you want to watch a quarterback that does this extremely, extremely well. Watch Dillon Gabriel for Oregon. His feet are ridiculously good. They're perfectly set, shoulder width. He's got great balance. He keeps his leverage and he bounces around with his feet. So then when I watch a game like last week and I'm breaking down him throwing the football, I'm like, every single time his feet are right, he throws it beautifully, because he's got everything. He's got the fundamentals. He's got the arm talent. He's got everything you want. So if I'm going to critique, it's going to go to both people. Coach, stop letting your quarterback be lazy, because that's your job. Make him be the best he can be, because what's happening is we just saw there was a, I don't know if you saw this, but Tom Brady was on with like Stephen A or something, and he was talking about how we're not doing our quarterbacks any favors in the NFL because they're not prepared to play. We're playing them too early. They're not learning enough in college. But it's my opinion that we allow quarterbacks to drift into their drops. There's so high school kids just catch the ball and they float back and there's no timing with their feet and all that stuff. And that's not good football. So when Jackson Dart does it right, he's really, really good. I would just encourage them to force him to do it right more often, because it feels like to me he's just kind of lazy with his feet sometimes. That's the only thing I would say to be negative. Other than that, I think he's got all kinds of talent. I've liked him for a long time.
Yeah, it looked like Saturday, he'd had some issues with the deep ball. He had been kind of underthrowing guys. That's probably what you just, alluded to. Just kind of looked a little off. Saturday was not the case. Hit some deep throws. I think he was Pro Football Focus put out the numbers of what he did on throws plus 25 yards. I mean, I think he was almost perfect. Pretty remarkable.
Well, just quick, I'll jump in here, because sometimes, again, when you have a talent and you rely on that talent, it lets you down. So if you don't step into the throw the way you're supposed to on a deep ball and you don't have proper form, it may be a little short, it may be a little long, it may drift a little right, it may drift a little left. I mean, I always think about like when you have pitchers. Pitchers work on their fundamentals so much, because if you don't come through and end up on your front, but when I used to teach quarterbacks, I used to tell them Tom Brady, and all that meant was I want you to end on your left side and have that back toe almost dotted, and you have that follow through where everything's going towards the target. And now everybody switches their arm angles all the time. And I'm not the old guy that acts like you should never do that. We've all done that. The problem is guys are doing that when they don't have to.
Yeah.
Like when you have a perfect pocket, you should look like Tom Brady. When you don't have a perfect pocket, then you can try to be Patrick Mahomes. That's fine. Or Caleb Williams or any other quarterback you want to talk about. But when you can step into your throw. And so I would argue that when a quarterback as talented as Jackson Dart is missing, because I've said the same thing about if you've ever watched it, what's so great about Patrick Mahomes, every once in a while he'll do one of those feet aren't set, total arm throws, and he'll miss horribly. And you'd be like, that's Patrick Mahomes. The problem is on the next play, he throws the greatest pass you've ever seen and makes up for it, so you all forget about it. But that's because he's great. There's not everybody's great. Jackson Dart is very, very good. So get better at the fundamentals, and you'll be more consistent. I think that would be the key.
Yeah. Almost perfect. I found the stat. He was 5 for 6 for 282 on passes, 25 or more yards. So definitely looked to be a lot more comfortable. And like you said, when the offensive line gives you time, you can get your feet set. I think that's a lot of it too, where, I mean, he's having to run for his life most of the year, but it seems second half of Oklahoma and then all four quarters against Arkansas, something flipped. As far as scheme and play calling. Like I said, wanted Kiffin to get more creative and get kind of, you know, in his bag, as the kids would say. They implemented the tight ends a lot more, used the middle of the field. I think that was big. For some reason, Ole Miss just hasn't thrown to the tight end. They've got two really good ones. How much does that affect a quarterback and kind of getting in rhythm and stuff like that?
Well, it's huge, and it's funny because if you're struggling up front and your quarterback's getting harassed a lot, you slow that down by the run game and the quick passing game. So I'm with you on that. As a coach, you have to adjust, and tight ends are your best friend when there's a pass rush, because those guys can run short, quick routes and be open. And usually they're really good at creating space and using their bodies. So, you know, I agree with you that when you're dealing with an offense that's struggling and you're not able to do what you want to do, especially when there's pressure, you want to make it easier for your quarterback. Get the ball out fast, more receiver screens, more tight end routes, more slot receivers. And you can do that in the modern day of football. I mean, you have quarterbacks completing 70 to 80% of their passes and offenses that do that. So you do that, and then what happens is you loosen up the defense. They can't bring as many people. And then when you have a game like this one where you're blocking much better, and the quarterback, I mean, listen, when I'm watching this game going, Dart has all day to throw. And when you can do that, then you can do more stuff downfield. But sometimes you have to do things to loosen up the defense. And if you can beat them by getting the ball out quick, it forces them to loosen up and do other things.
The Flagship is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at LB's Meat Market. Located at 2008 University Avenue, Suite E in Oxford, Mississippi, they have the best meat in town. You need to grill out, you need to do something inside, you need to throw something in the oven, you need to put something in the crock pot. LB's Meat Market has got you covered. $10 lane train specials are still the thing every single day, and you get $2 off anything in the freezer. And now, for the first time, you can text LB's if you want to place an order for pickup. That's 662-259-2999. Give Greg and the folks a call if you have any questions, or shoot them a text if you want to go ahead and place that order for pickup. Football, baseball, basketball, LB's has got you covered. Look, we all know that Arby's, they say a lot of things, but deep down, we all know LB's has got the meats. What are the most frequently asked questions about real estate, and how do you sort it all out? Just like every other situation, you consult with a professional in the field. Stacy and Rick Berry with the Berry Home Team and Keller Williams Realty can help you make sense of it all. From interest rates, when to buy, should you wait, what type of loan is best for you, what do all of these new real estate rules even mean, and how will it affect you? As top producers in the Memphis and metro area, Stacy and Rick will be by your side through the process, whether you were buying, selling, or investing. Give them a call today and ask all the questions. 901-481-6420. That's the Berry Home Team. Keller Williams Realty.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe, does Uncommon Goods, for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Just a few of the favorite gifts I've found on Uncommon Goods include a do-it-yourself storybook kit for my niece. My daughter's got me the MLB Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl set. Love my Braves. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans like us, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. It is the season of giving, after all. So get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I've focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Loosening up is going to be key for Saturday. it's a big one. Ole Miss has set several attendance records this season for home games, probably going to set another one Saturday. 2:30 Central Time, Georgia comes to Oxford. You do a national show every week. You watch a ton of football. You guys break every game down, pick the big ones. You don't have to necessarily give me a pick, but just how do you see this one going Saturday, and kind of what's your – if you had to be in that huddle, be with the headset on the sidelines, what's your plan for Ole Miss to be successful?
Well, I go back to Georgia, Texas, and I don't know if you saw the look on Quinn Ewers' face. He just didn't look like Quinn Ewers. It was like, oh my, it was like almost like deer in the headlights, and I haven't really seen that from him. And since that game, and I know he was coming off an injury, so maybe that had something to do with it. But when Georgia's right, I mean, I don't think I have to tell you what I'm going to say, but, like, I think Georgia's better. I think that, you know, every team, we've learned this about college football this year, that teams get off. You know, when you play a team like Georgia, you hope that you can force, you know, a turnover or two. You hope that the home field plays a huge role. But, man, that defense is nasty. And you know, I think they're probably going to come into this game more confident because of what they did against Arkansas. And I think both of us were a little bit shocked at how they handled them and just moved the ball at will. So that helps. It helps having that kind of confidence. But Georgia's a different animal. And it just feels like you never know what's going to happen in college football. But what we were just talking about having to get rid of the ball quick, you can't be totally one-dimensional. I mean, if you can't run the ball at all, then you have to be extremely efficient in the passing game. So I think it's going to be rough, but it's going to start up front. I mean, when you play a team like Georgia, you have to give. If you give Jackson Dart a chance, he's not going to be able to. He's not going to beat you with his legs. He's not going to outrun the Georgia defenders on a regular basis. He might have a scramble or two that are effective. But for the most part, he's going to have to be able to throw the ball. So you've got to find ways to get him protected and have him get the ball out. Because, you know, as of right now, I do think Oregon's the best team in the country. But I think Georgia's next. And if that was a game on a neutral site, I don't know who I would pick. To be honest with you, it's just they're just really, really good. I know that loss kind of threw people off a little bit. But they seem like they're playing some really good football. So you got to protect Jackson Dart. If you don't do that, it's going to be a long day.
So we critiqued Dart. Let's go on the other side. Carson Beck kind of joined some, I wouldn't call it elite company, but Carson Beck joined Duke's Anthony Boone, Nebraska's Tommy Armstrong Jr., and ECU's Jake Garcia as the only FBS quarterbacks in the past 20 seasons to throw three or more interceptions and win in consecutive games.
Wow.
So, look, I know Brock Bowers is gone. Ladd McConkey's gone. What? Last year he was just, I mean, damn near automatic. I mean, he was accurate. He was lethal. This year, completely different. You know, like I said, lost some pieces that were really, really good, but what do you think has caused Beck to look so different this year outside of the obvious with no 19 out there and no 84?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I picked, you know, I had to, with Stephen Hartzell and company on College Sports Now, I was forced to pick my top five, and two of them are looking terrible. I had Carson struggled, and I had Fifita of Arizona, because I thought with T-Mac coming back, I'm like, those guys, and neither one of them have lived up to expectations. But you nailed it. And it's sometimes the simplest answer is the right answer. I mean, Brock was, he wasn't just good. He was like historically good. So when you take a player, and again, I'll keep throwing in Patrick Mahomes as a fun example. Like, there's only so many quarterbacks that no matter how many guys you take away from them, they're just, and Tom Brady did this too. You just keep rolling new people in there, and the next thing you know, they're all pros. Some quarterbacks have that. But you take two of your best weapons away, and it just kind of changes your comfort. I even dealt with this as a player. I had, you know, and if you can see me, there's a Rose Bowl jersey behind me. I had a guy named J.J. Stokes that year, and he had, I think I threw 18 touchdown passes, and he had 17 of them. He's 6'5". He was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He was incredible. And my senior year, he got hurt. We beat Tennessee, and he got hurt, and I didn't have him anymore. So I had one really good receiver, and then I had a bunch of guys that were learning how to play, you know, and we didn't have the same timing and the same rhythm. And I think people underestimate that you have almost like, I ran into JJ the other day at a football game, and we talked about, hey, remember that play against Arizona and Teddy Bruschi and Desert Swarm when I was supposed to run this and I ran this and it was a big play in the game? I'm like, dude, you used to do that all the time. He was supposed to run slants and he turned him into corners. And like, but we almost like had this sixth sense to where we could figure it out on the fly, and we did it in a split second. And I really don't know if people realize that quarterbacks and receivers that spend a ton of time together and work together, and when you know that you can count on a Bowers to be open, it opens the whole game up, because you know he's always there. So it's a person that no matter what happens, this play may be intended for this guy than this guy, but you know you've got Brock. And if you have two of those guys, holy cow. When I had, because I had another All-American receiver too, when you had both those guys playing at the same time, it would be like, good luck. You know, whatever you're going to do, double one guy, I'll go to the other guy. Like, it's whatever you want to do. So it does affect your ability to throw the ball when you lose an All-American in any part of your receiving corps, because I guarantee you there's two defenders dealing with that person most of the time, which leaves you other guys that are open a lot.
Last question here, kind of big picture. Lane Kiffin, this is year five. Fastest coach in Ole Miss history to 40 wins. Been really good. I think Ole Miss is now 18-4 in its last 22 games. You know, this year you have the tough loss to Kentucky. You lose in overtime to LSU. So now it's, you know, it's essentially, you know, survive in advance.
Yep. If
you make the college football playoff. You know, it's a weird spot for Ole Miss fans, because he wins more than anyone that's ever coached at Ole Miss. But with the expectations being so big, it's going to be a difficult pill to swallow if Ole Miss can't get to the playoff. But from your, you know, way out there in California and in, you know, Big Ten country now, but looking at the SEC, you know, where in that pecking order do you see Ole Miss, and kind of, you know, potentially in the future, do you see them sticking around?
Gosh, this is such a good question. Well, remember, I followed Lane Kiffin for a long time, from his SC days. We played against him when he was at Tennessee. You know, everything that he's gone through. Be careful what you wish for, Ole Miss fans, because you've got a very, very good coach who fits perfectly. He's going to attract top talent. If you're a big-time quarterback, you're going to want to play there. Remember, we live in the era of, you know, I just listened to the radio and we're talking about how SMU is an elite job now because of all the money they have that they can put into that program. And it just hurts my head to think about all this stuff, because it's crazy. But if, I mean, now you're Ole Miss and you're in a conference that still has Alabama. And by the way, Alabama's not going to go away. I know DeBoer's had a few hiccups, but I still think he's a very good coach. And I think the problem is he has something different than Michael Penix right now, and he's trying to figure out how to utilize Jalen Milroe the right way, and I don't know if he has. But he's going to get a quarterback that can run his offense eventually, and it's going to be scary with the kind of talent they get. You're still going to have Georgia. You're still going to have LSU. I mean, with a 12-team playoff, if you're Ole Miss, I think realistic, and don't hate me for this, because I think this is a lot of programs, you're in that next tier. You're not in that top. I don't want to call it blue blood, because blue bloods have shifted over the years, but that group that maybe even a Clemson used to be in is slipping kind of out of right now. You know, that top five, six schools that seem like they're always going to be in it. But then there's that next tier of people that are going to be fighting for that 8-12 spot. And I think Ole Miss can do that. But I don't think getting rid of Lane Kiffin would be a smart move. As you just pointed out, he can win there. He seems comfortable there. He actually seems I don't know what you think, but it feels like he likes it there. And so for me, you've got a guy that could bring in talent. You're going to play fun football. I know fans are nuts, and they're never happy. And they're always like, once you build an expectation, now that we've won, you know, 9-10 games, now we won 11 and 12 games. Why aren't we winning every game? And so it's just a challenge, because as we all have known, and I know it's probably going to change a little bit with NIL, all the five stars go to a few schools, and they have like the majority of them. And then there's a few of them that land in other places. And so you might get one or two of them, but you don't have 10. And so it's going to be tough. But if you're a program that can go into November and you're always fighting for a chance, because remember the SEC, I believe they have like of all the conferences, I think there's still 8 teams in the top 25 from the SEC. I think it's around that. I think the next best is like 4 or 5. I mean, it's a lot. So if you can keep winning and you're a 2-loss, even if you don't go to your conference championship, if you're a 2-loss SEC team, it's hard to keep you out. And if you're a 3-loss SEC team with a really good resume, and you have a really good win or two on your resume, you could still have an argument for that you know, some of those bottom end spots. So I don't know. I think Ole Miss. We're talking about Ole Miss a lot more than we were before Lane Kiffin was there. So I think he's a heck of a coach. I really do. He's got his shortcomings, like every single coach does. I don't think there's a coach out there that's perfect. I mean, trust me, the Georgia people after the Georgia loss were like, what are we doing? Are we, you know, especially with all the other stuff that's happening off the field, people are one bad game away from questioning every single coach. No, but how many people want Florida State just went undefeated last year? Everybody said they got screwed, but now Norvell is like, I mean, I was with a guy today in the airport. It's like, you got to fire him. You can't have a season like this. I'm like, hey, we're just undefeated. Like, you don't think he can build it again? And the answer is, you know, people don't care. They just want heads to roll, and they want the new guy. I always say this as a quarterback. Whenever things go wrong, the backup quarterback is everybody's favorite. It's the same thing with coaches. As soon as things start going wrong, people are already starting looking for. Remember, Mike Elko just a week ago was the greatest hire in the world, right? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. But then they lose a game, and people start going, oh, maybe they're not as good as we thought. So it's insane how these things can change.
Yeah, you mentioned the SEC. I just looked at the AP poll. 8 teams in it, with Vandy getting in. And you look at others receiving votes, the first two are SEC. So,
well, and then get this. The first four 6-2 teams, which, by the way, I could get into the SEC bias if I wanted to. The first four 6-2 teams are all SEC teams. And the first 6-3 team in there is an SEC team.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Which I love the parity this season. I mean, yeah. I think we're due for more chaos, and I love it.
What, 6 top 25 teams went down, right? 6 or 7. 6 or 7 somewhere in there. I mean, it was a good weekend for shaking things up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ole Miss will hope to continue that trend this weekend. Ole Miss hosts Georgia 2:30. It'll be a circus in Oxford. So if you're planning on going, get there early. If you can, get there Thursday or Friday. Wayne, we appreciate the time. Before we get out of here, make sure to tell the folks where they can listen to you, where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, College Sports Now, Twitter, at Wayne Cook, UCLA. And check out a Bruin game every once in a while. We've won two in a row. Like, don't hey, just because you're, you know, on another part of the country, you could still tune in and listen to us. We got a few good players out here too. But I can I end with this? I'm rooting for Ole Miss. Like, again, I don't always hate on the teams that always win, but I kind of do. I'm Georgia. You know, I have no reason to not want you to win this game, but let's go, Jackson Dart. Set those feet and let it rip, man. When your feet are set, you're more accurate and have the game of your life.
Absolutely. That's Wayne Cook, sideline reporter for UCLA, College Sports Now. Again, check it out. One of the best shows out there. It's a great listen every week. They do a fantastic job breaking down all of college football. So we appreciate Wayne. We appreciate you and College Corner, Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, all the sponsors that make this show possible. We'll have more shows this week, and we'll have tons of coverage leading up to Georgia at Ole Miss. So for Wayne over there, I'm Zach. This has been The Flagship. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch, full stop. And their ceramic watch material, almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
Menards is your lighting headquarters. We have a huge selection of lights from top brands, including Good Earth Lighting. Whether you're looking for a light that complements your unique style or helps with your home projects, we have you covered. Pick up a 44-inch length, 10,000 lumen LED shop light on sale now through November 17th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.